and praise His holy name. It's wonderful to know that we serve a God of love. And He walks with us every day, and He cares about what's going on in our lives, and He wants us to spend eternity with Him. Our God is worthy of all praise. Amen? Amen. Have you ever been extremely hungry? You know, sometimes we say, I'm starving to death. Or I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. It's our body's way of screaming, I need nourishment. And sometimes we can try to suppress it. Or we can try to distract ourselves. But eventually that need has to be met. Well, did you know that spiritual hunger works the same way? Some people, it appears as restlessness. There has to be more to life than this. In some people, it appears as emptiness. Why do I not feel fulfilled? And in some people, it expresses itself as longing. I want more of God, and I want to be closer to Him. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Because Jesus addresses this ache within us that needs to be fulfilled. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now imagine Jesus sitting there on that mountainside, looking at all the crowds who have come up to hear Him speak. And He sees people thirsting for God. He sees people who have been living under a religion that had become so burdensome. He sees people seeking truth. They've come to hear what Jesus has to say about God. And Jesus says, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who have this ache within them for needing more of God. Blessed are those who are seeking the truth. Blessed are those who long to be with the Father and learn His truth and walk after Him and praise Him and serve Him. Well, this morning, I want us to notice exactly what it means to thirst and hunger for righteousness. And let's begin with the necessity of spiritual hunger. Jesus used the strongest cravings of the human body to express our spiritual hunger. Hunger and thirst, the two basic needs that we crave the most to survive, we need to survive. And He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, hunger and thirsting, food and water are not optional. You have to have them to live. That need is persistently there, and you always search out for more. Well, to possess this spiritual virtue, I must realize that righteousness is required for spiritual life. If I want to walk before God, I must pursue righteousness. And so let's ask the question, what is righteousness? Righteousness is desiring to live right with God and live right with other men or other people. I must have this desire within me to pursue righteousness. God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy, 1 Peter 1:16. So as I strive and hunger and thirst for righteousness, I'm striving to walk holy before God. Question. Do you feel holy? Do you feel like you can live a holy life? God tells us we can, that we can live for Him. Spiritual hunger is a desire. It's an intense desire and longing for Christ's righteousness. It's something that is within us crying out for God. As David said, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David feels this distance from God, and he wants to be back in God's presence. The word pant means to cry out, to bray for. It's talking about a deer in desperate need of water. We hunger and thirst for God. We're in desperate need to be near to Him. We're crying out to be near for Him. It's a desire within us. As we strive to walk after God, David cries out from deep within his soul. And is it in me, deep within my soul, that I desire to be with God? Let me give you some illustrations of desire. What about the athlete who trains before sunrise? Self-motivated, gets up before the sun comes up, goes out, pushes through the discomfort, and trains. Why? Because he wants to win. Because the reward is well worth it. Well, spiritual hunger is the same way. We have to find motivation within ourselves to seek after God. We have to motivate ourselves to study His Word and to do His will. Why? Because the reward is worth it. Second example, what about the child who cries out in the middle of the night? Child wakes up thirsty, and he cries out for mom or dad. Time is irrelevant to him. He doesn't know it's middle of the night. But he is dependent upon his mother or his father to come meet his need. Well, spiritual hunger is our dependence upon our Father to meet our need, to meet the ache within us. Third illustration, what about the person who keeps snacking but never gets full? You know, the world is full of junk food. We seek out entertainment, but are never satisfied. We seek out a job that has prestigious, but it never fulfills us. There's so many things in the world that can pull us away from God. And we keep snacking on the world. But you know what? We will never be satisfied with the things of the world. You can snack all day long and never be satisfied. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, for I am the bread of life. Come to me. I can satisfy that ache and hunger within you. Come to me and be fulfilled, satisfied, and walk righteously before God." Well, as we talk about and putting forth our best efforts to walk righteously before God, there are things that still distract us. There are distractions that starve spiritual hunger. Have you been distracted? Have you ever had anything pull you away from God? Or get so involved in something going on in your life that you push God to the back burner? Have you ever pushed worship to the back burner? I mean, miss a couple of Sundays and feel no regret? Because I become so distracted by the things the world has to offer. Spiritual hunger does not disappear. It gets drowned out. That is, imagine a man named Mark. And he's striving to live faithfully for God. He's not angry. He's not walking away from his faith. He's not drifting from God. His mornings used to be filled with scripture and prayer. But now, when that alarm goes off on his phone, as soon as he turns it off, what does he do? He starts scrolling, checking out the latest news, the latest sports updates, media notifications, emails from work. And by the time he finally gets out of bed, his head is full, but it's not filled with God. And goes through the day. Instead of prayer, it's filled with podcasts. Instead of time and meditating on the Word of God, it's everything else the world has to offer. What's happened? God has been drowned out because he has put so much stuff in his lives. as we walk after God, we have to be sure we make time for God. You know, silence used to be common. Today, we cannot stand for it to be silent. We put on background music. We watch movies. We live stream. We just continually on our phone. You want to punish a teenager, take his phone away from him and his music away from him and make him sit there and listen to the silence. We need times of silence so we can read God's Word. We need periods of silence so we can hear God speak. We need periods of silence so we can meditate and be thankful. As we strive to walk after God, we live in a world that's filled with constant noise. And we confuse busyness with spiritual lives. Oh, we're busy all right, but not doing the things of God. We're like Martha, busy for Jesus, but not willing to sit with Jesus. Are we so busy with everything that we don't take time to sit with our Lord and learn from Him? Or we confuse busyness with spiritual life? There's an illustration of a man who lost his appetite. He ate chips and candy and drank soft drinks and ate anything he could find. He drank his water, his soda, his sports drinks, his orange juice, on and on and on. He had salt and sugar all day long. And by the time dinner comes, he says, "I'm not hungry." Well, of course not. He's filled with junk food, which doesn't make him healthy. But anyone who snacks all day long is going to be filled when dinner comes. Are we filling ourselves up with junk food? Are we making our lives all about the things around us? Or are we filling ourselves up on what God offers us, the nourishment He offers unto us? You know, the Scriptures, because of such, warns us not to love the world. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because the world and God cannot be at full strength with both of them in your mind at the same time. One is going to overtake the other. And we need to be sure that God is what our minds are filled with and is working within us at full strength. He says, everything in the world is going to pass away. Why do you want to be connected to something and so focused on something that's going to disappear? He said, he that loves God is going to be the one who abides forever. God wants us to live for all eternity with him in heaven above. But I have to love God to do so. And I have to put him first to do so. We're warned not to love the world. Well, if we're not walking after God, and I desire to, what do I need to do? Well, I need to learn how to cultivate spiritual hunger. If I want to possess this virtue, what must I do? What can I do to increase this virtue? First, I need to feed on what nourishes me. What nourishes you in God? Scripture, prayer, worship, community, being with other Christians who are striving for the same goal, who encourage you and uplift you. What else can I do other than feed on what nourishes me? Well, I need to ask God to increase my hunger. Do you know you can pray to God and ask Him to increase your spiritual hunger so you'll strive to grow closer to Him? God hears prayers. God answers prayers. Are we praying to draw nearer to God? Well, what else? I need to notice God's goodness. Let me challenge you. Write down three things every day that reveals God's goodness to you. Whether it's the beauty of creation, whether it's kindness you see going on in a brother or sister, whether it's the goodness of God, His mercy, His grace. How would that help me increase my spiritual hunger? Because if you take time to notice three things of God every day, then that's going to help set your mind on God and help you stay focused upon Him. So I need to notice the goodness of God. Well, do I spiritually hunger and thirst after God? How do I know? Let's talk about the testing of spiritual hunger. How do I know I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Am I already doing it? Do I have to ask? There will be things that show up within us that reveal our hunger for God. The first one is, it shows up in repentance. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, we all should put things out of our lives that are not pushing us towards God. We're to put everything out of our lives that are drawing us away from God. Oh, they may not be sinful, but we're letting them overtake our desire to live for Him. The second way this hunger shows up is prayer. Paul exhorted us, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Am I praying daily? Am I taking my cares and concerns to God? Am I letting Him know my needs? Am I asking Him for support? The third way it shows up is it shows up in Scripture. James says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Your translation may say, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. This is where we find salvation. This is the roadmap to heaven. And I want to know how to get there. It also shows up in our obedience. Do you remember King Saul when he went out to destroy the Amalekites as God commanded? As he was coming back, Samuel the prophet approaches him. And Samuel says, what means the bleeding of the sheep and oxen that I hear? And remember, Saul tried to blame the people. He said, well, the people kept the best of the livestock to offer and sacrifice to God. Samuel wasn't having none of this deflecting responsibility onto someone else. He told Saul, to behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. Am I sacrificing all my energy to the world instead of being obedient to God? It also shows up in compassion. Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Are we compassionate people? Are we there for one another? Are we helping one another? This hunger shows up in integrity. The proverb writer says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. We choose what is right, even if it's going to cost us. Well, there are five marks of genuine hunger. When I'm dissatisfied with myself. If I'm so satisfied with myself and lifted up with pride, I don't need God. I don't want God. Am I free from dependence on external things for satisfaction? Do I have to have things of the world to be satisfied? Or am I satisfied with the blessings God bestows upon me? Can I accept where God has put me in life and rejoice in it? Do I have a craving within me to know more about God's Word? Do I search out the pleasantness of the things of God? And do I search out God unconditionally? Remember the rich young ruler? He wanted the kingdom of God, but he wanted it on his own terms. And when he heard what he had to do to have eternal life, he turned and walked away sad because he wanted the things of the world more than he wanted the things of God. Is that me? Well, as we talk about our spirituality, we need to create space for hunger. We need to create space for hunger to return within us. Well, how? We remove appetite killers. We remove the things out of our lives that keep us from God. We allocate time for God. We read and study and worship and pray and spend time doing His will and serving Him. We spend time with others who are going to encourage us to walk for God. Jesus says, if you pursue this virtue of hunger and thirsting and righteousness, if you have this virtue within you, then what are the results? What are the results of spiritual hunger? He said, and for they shall be filled. Or they shall be satisfied, given total satisfaction. You know, there's another paradox. Always hungering for more, but being totally satisfied at the same time. For whom do you hunger in your life? For what do you hunger? God satisfies those who seek Him. Oh, there's so many verses that we could put right here. Psalm 107, verse 9. For God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with all goodness. Jeremiah 31, 14. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. John 4, 14. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John 6, 35. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. God satisfies everyone who hungers and thirsts after him. That ache, that void that we can't seem to fill, that goes away because God fills it. God put that hunger within us. And we can search out the world to try to fill it with the things of the world, but it will never satisfy you. God satisfies us. You know, you may be here today and have a weak hunger. That's still hunger that God notices. You may be here today and you have a weak thirst, but that's still thirst which God notices. And God answers all of our needs with His mercy and grace. You know, the crux of the Beatitude is God fills us with everything we need while we hunger and thirst after Him. Where are you in your life? Are you hungering and thirsting after God? Are you to the point that you have become to the point of believing in Jesus so much that you want to do what you must do to be saved according to Scripture? That you're ready to repent of sin in your life because they separate you from God. You're ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're ready to be fully immersed in water to have your sins washed away. You can be baptized this morning just like we saw at the beginning. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you need to hunger and thirst more. And to do so, you might need to put something out of your life. If you need to make your life right with God today, we encourage you to respond to the front as we stand and sing.